Lord, to be joyful, to have that hope within us that what God has planned from the beginning, He's able to bring to pass. That you and I, as members of the family of God, as members of His kingdom, we will, with patience, as we run this race, we will partake of the glorious triumph of the kingdom of God. I want to just, you know, pray a little bit. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunities that you give us to see how you are performing your will from all, from the very beginning. You are the one who we are told had slain the lamb before the foundation of the world. You had laid up the plan of salvation, of redemption, of bringing back everything to yourself before you actually laid the foundation of the earth. So Lord, we are thankful to know that in our belief in you, in our participation in the kingdom of God, we are in the oldest enterprise of God who brings all things back to himself. We have faced sorrow. We have faced challenges. Our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are going through pain. Our brothers and sisters in persecuted regions in the world on account of their faith are today or have today come to places of worship only because of the hope that they have in Christ. And then so, Lord, as we weep with them, you say we should weep with those who weep. As we weep with them, as we lament the pain that they are facing, we ourselves draw comfort knowing that when we face such things, we can look back and know that our Lord God has brought us into this suffering, to share in the suffering of the Lord, that we might share in his resurrection and in his reign. So for that, we bless you. Help us not to be short-sighted. The things that are in this, in the horizon, the things we face today, tomorrow, that they do not cloud our vision, that eternal vision when God must reign and all authority must submit to him, when it will be fulfilled, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So for that, Lord, we look and we want to live in this hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like to share with you, because I have been, just like every one of us, thinking about what is it that keeps us going? The news from, you know, a war, the news from different parts of the world, the news from here in Texas, in Buffalo, and things going on in the Ukraine. When I looked at this young generation, I said to myself, how do we let them know that the faith that we have, what God has called us into, what we are certain that triumph is assured? How do we tell them? They say, look at this, look at that. We prayed for this person. We prayed for that person. We're talking now about a brother who's, earthly dwelling. We're going to be committed to earth. And we spent some time praying when he was not feeling well. We have prayed for all the members of our own congregation. And some of us carry in our bodies pain and challenges. How do we show our children that beyond all of these, there is a hope that is certain? So this morning, we're going to read a number of scriptures. So I'm going to call a few of you. You simply just come and read from here, but I'm going to sit down if it's okay by all of you. And I think you can still see me. You're able to still see me with the people on Zoom. Okay, I would like to sit down if it's okay. I'd like to open to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read a few, and then I will call some of the young people here to come and read from time to time. And you just simply come open the Bible that is here, and then you can read from it. So Hebrews chapter 12, I'll start from verse 1. I want to read a few verses from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I think I'm reading the New King James Version. So if you are reading, I'm just going to read the New King James Version. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and those are the witnesses from chapter 11, from Abraham through, you know, Noah and all of them, Enoch, all the way to Jephthah, David, and all the women who, by faith, received their dead raised to life again. So since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. In some of your translations, it says patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So in this passage, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, we should look up to, we should use our Lord Jesus as an example in this patient, enduring, persistent walk in faith. Because when he suffered, when he went through all of these difficulties, he was looking to a joyful future. So as a result, he endured it. He says, who for the joy that was ahead of him, set before him, he endured the cross. He is our master. He's the one we follow. So what was this joy that was waiting for the Lord, to which we've been baptized? That's what I want us to talk a little bit about. I'm also going to share with you my own personal testimony. I was recently in Israel, and there was a confirmation of things I had learned as far back as 1983. So I'm going to weave into it some of my own, what I do in order to assure myself that in the midst of all these challenges, there is this joy, there is this certainty that is in front of me. I want to read another passage, and could we go to 1 Peter? So, Kiki, can you come and you can bring your Bible? I saw we have another microphone. So you're going to read for us a passage. Actually, you can read it from wherever you are. I just thought people might want to see you. But if you're reading and everybody can hear, yeah, come over here and read it for us. So could you read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and verses 14 through 17? You can read your own. You don't have to read this one. Just read the one you're comfortable with. So we're going to read a few scriptures just to give you an idea of what I'm thinking, and I hope they bless you. So 1 Peter, everyone, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. You can read whenever you're ready.
But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for the doing good than for doing evil.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So this was the Apostle Peter saying to the believers, look, you should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason the reason for give you ask tell me why, Brother Huwale, why, you know, Brother Peter, why is this hope? Why, what is this source of your hope? He said we should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone, to give them a reason for the hope that is in us. We should be prepared. And so those are things that I personally feel we must equip our children with. Our children should be able to recite, this is the reason why my father and my mother, why my parents, my grandparents, why the uncles and aunties and the teachers in the Sunday school, why they are so set on this. I'm going to just lower the... I thought I was hearing something upstairs. In the, okay. It's different. It's those people banging upstairs, but it's okay. I thought it was a snare. So as I looked at all of the things going on, I said, Alodja, what is the source of your hope? What is it that keeps me going? Why do I wake up in the morning, fall on my knees to pray to God? Why do I look at the word of God? Why do I preach the gospel? And I know, and I found that I have a reason for doing that. And the reason is tied to an ancient line of the faithful, all the way from righteous Abel to today, to those saints who just lost their lives. There is a thread of our hope that is founded on the faithfulness of God. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So I want to read another passage. I'm going to read the whole third chapter of the book of Habakkuk. So let's go to the book of Habakkuk. It's one of those prophets that they call minor. There's no minor prophet. Anyone who speaks for God is a prophet. There's no minor or major. And this is well before, you know, once you pass Nahum, that small prophet, the next book is the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk means the embrace of God. When God embraces you, when God, the embrace of God is the book, is Habakkuk. So in Habakkuk chapter 3, I'm going to read it. So please open up to it. And I'm going to read this passage that sometimes we sing from. There's a wonderful song from this passage, but I'm going to read the whole of the passage. And after that, I'm going to call Brother Wale to read Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 6. Okay, so Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shignot. But whatever, it's a musical term or whatever. So this may have been set to music like a rap song, a good one, so that people can remember. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. That was our prayer this morning. O Lord, our God, bring alive again, bring alive your work in the midst of the years, of these years that we are facing. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. This is before the Lord God Almighty. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. God frightened the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed down. His ways are everlasting. That's the ways of the Lord are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled like Wall Street is shaking. Right? Like the, you know, the European Union, they are shaking. This is the doing of the Lord. This is not the devil. This is not the devil. This is God showing the nations that they are both human beings. They are mere mortals. This is God. Then he said, so the prophet says, oh Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? So when we see all this churning, the hurricane, is it the rivers that anointed you? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. This is the Lord. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted his hand on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows, they went. At the shining of your glittering spear, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. This was the reaction of the prophet. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. This is the conclusion. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. So let me ask all of you here. Say you suddenly went to Giant and there are no groceries on the shelf. You have the money, but there's nothing there to buy. Say all of the fields where we used to get wheat and the rest, nothing comes out of them. Say money collapses, and we suddenly are in a place where nothing that we look upon can be certain. The prophet says, if that were to happen, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, because it's from that they make olive. Olive oil is very, very crucial to the life of people in the Middle East. And the fields yield no food. This is not poetic. So you have to say, oh, the prophet is just exaggerating. It is good for us to understand the sentiment of the prophet. And though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stalls, what will I do? I will be anxious and afraid. No, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I want to also say together, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels. That is the conclusion of this prophecy. If you were to read the earlier two chapters, it's a very painful experience, observation of this prophet. He saw nations that were wicked being used to judge a more, in quote, righteous Israel. And he could not understand it. God revealed it to him. I'm going to call Brother Wiley to read Isaiah chapter 55. You can read from verse 6 to the very end. I do want to read a lot of these chapters. I believe it's just more important for you to hear God's word than what I have to say. And then I'll make a few comments. Isaiah chapter 55, every one of us, let's go to it. Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 6 all the way to verse 13. It
says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off.
Thank you. You know, those of us who are believers that we call, you know, from the nations, we're not Israelites. When we read the word of God, we must understand the context. You have to know who was God talking to. What is God all about? Because we've been called into the commonwealth of Israel. Every time you see a word Zion, don't replace it with the word church. Every time you see Jerusalem, don't replace it with Washington. Stay where it is, because there's a reason. The Lord God is everlasting. When God says something, stay there. What you need to find out is, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in? This is God speaking to his, you know, to his ancient people through this prophet Isaiah. And he was chastising them for what it eventually led to captivity and all of that. But then the Lord said something. He said, everyone who is thirsty, let them come. And then he says in verse 5, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Then God said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And then God goes on to say this, which is at the very heart of what I'm sharing. God says, I don't think the way you think. Your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are the heavens, not just the heaven, the heavens. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways much higher than your ways. Isn't that encouraging that my ways, Sister Shade, your ways are not God's ways. That God's ways are higher than yours and mine. I rejoice to know that God is not like me. Thank God. His ways are not my ways. They are much higher than our ways. And he says, mark this. The word that comes out from the Lord cannot return to him empty. That's the meaning, void, useless. It must accomplish that for which God sent it out. Not my desire or my dreams or what I think should be. God says, my word in verse 11 that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So when our children say to us, what is it that keeps you going? We say, because of the word of God that is always sure, that is faithful. So let's look at the life of the one we always associate with faith, God's faithfulness, God's demonstration, Abraham. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul wanted to reveal to us, what was this thing? What did Abraham find? Abraham came to this understanding that if God says it, take it to the bank. Because all around Abraham, there was no way for that to actually come to pass, humanly speaking. We're going to read about that. But Abraham came to the understanding that this God that revealed himself to me, he does not say anything that he does not mean. And he has the power to accomplish whatever he wants. If I say to Brother Wally, tomorrow come to me, I'm going to write a check for you for $1,000. It is very possible that between now and tomorrow, some creditors may have called in and my account may go low. When he comes, I'll be making all kinds of excuses. Not with God. See, I don't have all powers. I can see everything. So when I make a promise, my promise is as good as my ability and my resources. So when God says something, whatever he says is equivalent to his resources and his ability. God is almighty. God has everything. When I was coming, and the memory verse and the day I flew in here was, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell in it. It's amazing. God has owns all things. So when God was saying something to Abraham, Abraham simply realized that if God says it, it's as good as done. Why? He can do all things. He owns all things. So in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, let's go there. What is the source of the hope that we have? What makes us sure that at the end, the kingdom of God to which we belong and our faith will not be in vain? Well, this is Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read it. I won't read the whole chapter, but I wish you would. But in from verse 13, this is what it says. So this Abraham that we all sing about, Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. This man, Abraham, that is called the father of the faithful, father of the of those who will walk in faith. You are the children of Abraham, we're told in Galatians. This Abraham, for the promise that he will be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it may be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law of the Torah, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You hearing that? Abraham is the foundation, is the source, is the father of us all who believe. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, not one nation. So you will be from exalted father, he became the father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he trusted or believed. God, this one that Abraham trusted in, is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's God himself. When I hear believers say, I want to call into things that do not exist, I say, no, no, not you. God. You hear all those charlatans saying, I want to call into things, not you. God. Our God. He calls into existence the things that do not exist. who, contrary to hope, in other words, when it did not seem reasonable to hope, he hoped. Abraham's hope was not reasonable. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, not being weak in faith. Mark that, underline that. Not being weak, not buckling or folding in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. What was the source of the strength of his faith? How did that happen? This is it. Giving glory to God and being fully what? Convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That is what it is. Our faith, our faith must be on the fact that what God promises, he is able to perform. That God's word does not return to him void. So when our children want to know the reason why, in spite of the challenges we face, we are still holding on to God, is because there is this eternal truth. What our God promises, he's able to perform. I don't know where you all are individually, but I know these are difficult and trying times. For some of us, our children are about to go to college, and we wonder if while in college, they will continue to remain in faith. We even worry whether we have the resources to pay the expenses of their college demands. There are many other things that we face. Some of us are facing health challenges, and we wonder whether we will be there for our children. There are many. We live in a nation where we are afraid of our children when they go to school. I hope we'll see them in the evening, because that is the nature of this violent country that we live in. In the midst of all of this, you and I must live based on what the Lord has assured us in our hearts. Like Abraham, we must be convinced that God is able to perform his word. What we read in Isaiah chapter 54, what God has said he will do, we must. This is the foundation of faith. What God had promised, he's also able to do. Only what God has promised. There are many people who want to make a promise for God, and they've been proven to be false. 2020 was a big indictment on the church and all the false prophets that were aggregated in this nation. And they've, unfortunately, their disgrace has not stopped them from manufacturing more lies, but the wise has taken things to heart. We know who not to believe. But we know one thing. Whatever God says comes to pass. That is the name of our first child. Ebolu Tale said, whatever God says is what comes to pass. Because God said in Isaiah, I am God. I declare the end from the beginning. And I say that my purposes will stand. So we who are believers have to understand what are God's purposes. So this is my personal testimony that I want to share with you. In 1983, I came to an understanding by reading the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul asked a question. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. If you're tired because of all the, most of you don't rest on Saturdays. It's your busiest day when God has given it to you to rest. You have to rest so you'll be ready for the first day of the week. But anyway, so here we go. Romans chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 1. I came to an understanding of this verse in 1983. 1982-83, it really opened my eyes. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, I say then, has God cast away his people? What people is he talking about? Has God cast away Israel? He says, certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. What does the divine response say to him? No, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Then I understood that God will never fail to perform all the things he promised to Israel. Not because they were a nation more special, but because they were the physical descendants of his friend Abraham, to whom he made a promise. Over the years, people have tried to find a way to say Israel was not faithful. Therefore, God has brought in the Gentiles, called church to replace them. Never. God can't do it. If he does, it's not faithful. I understood it. It's not to you to convince you. That's your you believe whatever you want to believe. I'm telling you, in 83, in Ife, I came to this understanding. And it broadened my, I said, Lord, you are amazing. God will not, he will not renege on any of his promises. Because we were brought up to know Jewish people, they have been disobedient. They have stiff-necked. They would never hear God. And so God has done away with them. Some people preach that. God cannot. He cannot. And in that time, the Lord started to show us and actually said we should begin to pray for Israel. We should begin to pray for Jewish people. That was when we discovered that in Ife, there was a Jewish community. The University of Ife was designed by two people. Ariel Sharon, not the prime minister, an Israeli, and Egbo from Ekboma. They formed a company called Egbo Army. The year I was born, 1962. So every year, up till recently, there was always a representative of Ariel Sharon in Ife to oversee the master plan. That's why Sole Bonner, an Israeli firm, built more than 70% of Ife. I'm not talking about the rivalry between Ife and Ibadan. That's not where I'm going. I'm talking about this divine purpose that I walked into. Down the year I was born, a partnership between an Israeli and a man from Ekboma, my hometown. When I came into that place in 1980, I did not understand. It was there I first preached the gospel to a Jewish person. We ordered Hebrew New Testament from the U.S. to preach to Jewish community in Nigeria. And they said, why are you coming to us? He said, you are the children of Abraham. Have you heard of how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham by raising up the Messiah? They were mystified. You coming to us, why? Because we're Jewish? I said, yes. He said, isn't that a form of reverse racism? I said, call it whatever you want to call it. To the Jew first and to the Gentile. I got to meet a couple on and near. And they came to Nigeria in 1984, just after the coup that brought in Idi Agbon and Buhari. And we became friends. When I was in Tel Aviv in May, they were waiting for me. So those friends I met in Ife, I was with them in Tel Aviv just last month. Nira, who is 70 now, Aunt's wife, said to me, so, Elijah, how did you become born again? A Jewish person in Tel Aviv is asking me using those words. Because over the years, she's come to understand my faith journey. And she said, so I know you came to Israel because of your love for Israel and the Jewish people. So how did you become born again? That's exactly what she asked me in her home with her brother Danny. And I shared with her freely of how I came to faith in the Lord. For me, I said, I can tell my children the hope that I have. I can tell them the reason I continue to get up each day and read this Bible and pray to God is because God fulfills his word. Do you know now there is a new set, young generation of Jewish people who are believers? I want to play a video. I want to share a song with you written by an Ethiopian Jewish believer. Brother Kunle, do you have it? This video I sent to you, are you able to pull it up? Yeah. We'll play just a minute and I will tell you, I'll give you a testimony. So I'm going to share some testimony with you on my understanding of how faithful God is and some of my experiences in Jerusalem. I won't be able to tell you everything, but I want to share one experience with you. There's a song, you should learn it. It's in Hebrew, but it has, you try. Yeah, I mean, some of you are partly...
I'm not afraid to die.
nobody can. You can recognize one person in that picture. Can you recognize one person there? Who? Can you recognize two people there? Who? You recognize the singer. Yeah, you do. Yes. And the village boy. Yes. So this was my last train ride from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on a Monday. I'm at the train station. I see this young lady. I say, I know this person. Because I'd played that video 6 months or so at our prayer meeting. I wanted to use it to lift up our prayer group. I said, I know this person. I said, Aloji, you always say you know everybody, so keep quiet. I said, I've seen this face before. So I quickly checked my YouTube. So I went to her. I said, excuse me, don't be scared. Do you ever make a video like this? He said, yes. I said, I played it in a place called Ithaca, New York, where Cornell is. You did? Yes. She was amazed. You can take it. I mean, you can leave it. Doesn't matter. I said, where are you going? I'm riding to Jerusalem. I said, let's go together. So we sat on the train, and she gave me a testimony of how that song came to be. She is an Ethiopian Jewish believer. Her parents came from Ethiopia. You remember the wonderful, miraculous rescue of what we call the Ethiopian Jews by Israel? They brought them, they brought a load of them from Ethiopia into Israel, because Ethiopia has some of the oldest tradition of Judaism. These believers, or these Ethiopian Jews, have been there since the time of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. But what was amazing is not just their origin, it's their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the prayer meeting we were having in Ife those nights? We were praying for God to bring Jews back from everywhere, bring them back to the land of Israel, and let them believe in the Lord. I am sitting opposite this young lady. She told me how that song was written. She said she was the commander for, you know, every Israeli male or female, you have to serve in the army from the age of 18 is 2 years and 8 months. You just have to serve first. When she was serving, she's 23 now, just the age of my youngest daughter. It was her turn that day to be in charge of the camp. You know, this place where they all go in the desert and learning how to protect Israel. I said her mind was so filled with all kinds of thoughts, uncertainties, anxieties. And while she was communing with God, it just became clear to her that God lifts me up. So that's the song, You Lift Me Up. So that's how she wrote the song. So we talked until the train stopped and we came out of Jerusalem. I held hands, I prayed for her. And I took the red banana I was wearing, I gave it to her. I said, at least when you wake up, you won't say, that must have been a dream. I didn't meet this Nigerian believer who lives in the U.S. who saw my video and then saw me on the train. But why am I saying that? For me, it was a validation. It was personally for me, I know that when God calls us, when God calls you, just imagine this Aloja from this village, from Ekpuma. I come into a university designed by an Israeli and somebody from Ekpuma. The year I was born, God reveals to me his plan for the Jewish people and tells us to start praying. That prayer meeting lasted many years, from 10 o'clock initially to 12, and it became from 10 sometimes to 2 a.m., and we were never tired. It has done so many things have happened. And I have since had the privilege of baptizing Jewish believers. I've performed weddings for Jewish people. This village boy, right? That God brought from this Ekuma. So what am I leading to? Whatever God says, he's able to bring to pass. So we have to locate ourselves within the will of God as communicated to us. Your peculiar calling will be different from mine, but there is the same underlying principle. God is faithful. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His words will not return to him void. We are able to tell our children, even if I die, I'm going to believe that God will do what he wants to do. Before Joseph died, he made the children of Israel swear to him that they would take his bones and take along with them when God comes to fulfill his word. What did he say to them? He said, I know surely that God will visit you. It will be after I'm gone, but I know for sure that God would perform his word. So that is the kind of faith to which we've been called, that we can say to anyone, I know that the Lord will fulfill it, whether I'm here or not. In Revelation chapter 6, there is a vision shown of believers who had died, persecuted, been beheaded for the faith. And they were saying to God, how long? And God said, just hold, rest a little while until your brethren will be massacred and killed the way you have been. So brothers and sisters, as we sorrow with those who have lost their lives, but we know it will not always be, it won't go on forever. But we know there'll be those who lose their lives, but there is a crown of life awaiting them. This is how the saints of old encourage themselves. We can be different. There, we cannot invent any new thing. In Acts chapter 24, this is what the Apostle Paul said to Felix. Acts chapter 24, I'm going to just read a few verses. This is what the Apostle Paul shared with, you know, trying to talk to Felix. And he says, verse 10, and when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can do all this, you can do this, you can do this. He says so many things. Then in verse 14, he says, but this I confess to you. Felix, I confess this to you. That according to the way in which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience, both toward both God and man. This I'm confessing to you, that in this way that they call a sect, I worship the Lord, which is in keeping with the prophets. This is my hope, that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. If you go read the book of Daniel, God said to him, Daniel, you're going to go fall asleep, but there will be a time when the righteous will be brought back and they will shine like firmament in the kingdom of their father. The just will receive the reward of the righteous. The unjust, they will receive the punishment of the wicked. What is our hope? What was the joy set before the Lord? He knew that God had appointed him a kingdom. He knew that the Lord had exalted him and given him the mandate to bring all of God's children, both in Israel and the nations, into one fold. For him, he is the shepherd. And he knows that this sheep that God has given him, none can take out of his hand. Said, my father who gave them to me, they are stronger than all. So he is confident. In the prayer in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, he says, Father, I have not lost any of all you've given me, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus does not lose any that has been given to him. And I'm not talking about eternal security. Those are phrases we inject into the Bible. I don't bother myself with them anymore. Let's just read the word of God and focus on the word of God. Jesus said, whatever has been given to me, I don't lose any. It's not a license to sin. If you still need a license to sin, you do not understand righteousness. You have not understood the sacrifice of Jesus. You have not understood the way of holiness. You have not understood the liberty of the Spirit. The Spirit has liberated us in order to do good. We're created as God's workmanship to do good. So if any believer still wants a license to sin, something is wrong. Isaiah chapter 62. I'm not done. If any of you are thinking it's time to, no, we're not done. Let's stay here. There's no hurry. When I walk through the streets of Jerusalem, I said, Lord, you are amazing. In 1948, the Jordanians destroyed Jerusalem again at the 18th time. They burned the city, including the cemeteries. They burned everything. It was during the Six-Day War that the Jews captured it from them. And since then, the Jews have rebuilt what's called the Old Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is on the place where Abraham may have sacrificed Isaac, Mount Moriah. There's no need to rush. One day, that place will be claimed again for God. But when I was walking through the old city, I was rejoicing. I said, God, this is what you promised. I saw young children riding bicycles unafraid. I said, Lord, you're amazing. How would Jewish people about in 1945, when they were suffering the fires of persecution in Europe, ever have known that one day Jerusalem will be in their hands? But this is the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 62, this is what God said. Oh, I learned many things, but I just want to share this. Verse 1 from chapter 62. For Zion's sake, for the sake of Zion, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. This is the Jerusalem of God we're talking about. The nations will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name. That's why there's going to be what's called the New Jerusalem. You'll be called by a new name. And the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. That does not refer to any other city in the world. It's not Lagos. It's not Pittsburgh. And you are part of this inheritance. And a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. The Lord delights in you, and you'll be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I who did the setting forth, the Lord said, I have set watchmen. All day, all night, they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest. Give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. That's how God does his work. Over the years, people have prayed day and night, God, fulfill your will. The Lord Jesus said, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that day is coming. So we as believers, we are praying that the time will come when Jerusalem will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There is no many signs that will point to the Lord's return. We cannot fix a date, but there's one thing that will have to happen. Jerusalem will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, just as the apostle Paul labored so hard for you and I Gentiles to come into faith, we need to labor hard for our Jewish brethren to come into faith. If you take some time to read Romans chapter 11, that's exactly what God did. He said, a blindness has happened to Israel now, so the Gentiles will come in until the fullness of the Gentiles. Your job, my job, is to, through the mercies given to us, to provoke Jews to jealousy so they come to their God. See, we can say we have a 10-year plan. If our 10-year plan does not accord with God's purposes, it will come to naught. A lot of churches and organizations, they have their own plan. It may look good on paper, but it has nothing to do with the will of God. They want to have branches in every nook and corner of Ukraine. That's an ambition. They want to have house group in every village in Ijebode. That's their personal ambition. It must accord with the will of God. Daniel, when he was, I'm going to round up now. Daniel, when he was in Babylon, he said, I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, and it occurred to me that 70 years were determined upon Jerusalem. That's how he went to pray. How do we walk? By walking according to the will of God. God already has his will. He doesn't need you and I to give him a plan. He's actually, you are not invited to that conference. Our invitation is to say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he said, little flock, don't be afraid. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, as a result, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear, and where you will live. Because your Father knows you have these needs. But rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, because he could see there's a day coming when from all the nooks and corners of the earth, men and women will own his name. They will bring glory to him. You know how many Chinese, how many Nigerians, how many Indians, how many people of different race, you know, English, Americans have suffered to glorify this name, have counted themselves privileged in order to suffer for the name of this Messiah. He said he will see of the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. And you and I are part of that group that brings satisfaction to the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, do not faint. Don't lose heart. Don't be moved. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Be unmovable. Always rejoicing, knowing that your work is not in vain. Whatever we are going through, brothers and sisters, we have a hope. It's founded in the will of God. It's founded in God's promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. It's the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. They may sound outdated to the ear of the uninitiated, but we cannot reinvent the wheel. Our God is on our side. His church is triumphant, and nations will come to bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. So, Father, we thank you. We lift up the name of your Son, Jesus. The Lord, in him, we who live and move and live, have our being, we might display your eternal purposes and your honor forever. Pray for our children, Lord, that they will not fall into despair, that they will not be enticed by the false hope that is in the transient things of this life. But help us also not to discourage them. Help us to joyfully hold to our faith, that it will not grieve them to serve you, because we serve you as if it is grievous. May we serve you with gladness. May that gladness, O God, be our strength. And may there be peace in our homes, in our household, in the spheres of our work, our play areas. We lift up the name of Jesus. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in all places of your dominion. Thank you, Lord. Amen.